Today's passage is Jeremiah 2, verses 4 through 13, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruits and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me, the prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Kittim and look, send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water.
First thing I want to ask you to do this week is take some time and be in prayer for someone else. I mean, Rick sang a beautiful song about, I know that someone was praying for me. But I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Please contact that person that you're praying for and let them know that you have prayed for them. That is an incredible encouragement to hear that from someone. And I tell you that also because on Tuesday, Rick has a procedure that's being done. Please pray for him. Pray for him, and if you got a chance, let him know that you've spent some time praying for his procedure this week. It'll mean a lot to him, I know. But whoever you pray for, take some time to contact that person somehow. Whether it's the next time you see them, whether it's by text message or email or phone call, or even by a card or a letter in the mail. Snail mail still works most of the time. Contact folks. Let them know. I'm going to talk about cracked cisterns today. Cracked cisterns. But here's what I want to talk to you about first. It's a spiritual discipline that many folks through the years and through the centuries have used. It's called a daily examine. And what you do during a daily examine is you sit down towards the end of your day, and you think back through your day. What was it like? What were the high points? What were the low points? But also, where were the places that you could have done better? This is not to beat yourself up, okay? Don't use this in a wrong way. This is to listen for what God has to say to you and how you can learn from things and how you can grow spiritually. Because quite often in the spiritual life, we read scriptures and we notice other people, but we don't always notice ourselves. We notice other folks and say, wow, I really know who needs to hear this verse. But sometimes we don't take the time to look at ourselves. This passage of Scripture, God is very open and upfront with the people. God is very open in speaking with the people about what they've done. Did you not hear it as Michael read it? God was very open with the people and told them exactly what they had done wrong. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when people tell me exactly what I've done wrong, a wall starts to be built. And my intent is I hope to build the wall high enough that I can't hear what they're saying. And sometimes we come to our spiritual life and God has some very hard and difficult things to say to us. We need to listen. God's not speaking to beat us down. God is telling us about these things to build us up. We've got to keep that in mind. But God is very open to speak about these things. And God will share them with us. You've heard me say before, having a morning spiritual devotion, quiet time with God is not so that you can get a warm fuzzy and move off into your day going, hooray, God just loves me tremendously. Now, sometimes that's what comes out of a devotion time. But if that's all that comes out of your devotion times, I wonder, are you really listening to what God's saying? Because I find as I sit before scriptures, particularly like this, that God says to me, are you listening? Are you hearing what's being spoken? Yes, it was spoken to a particular people in a particular day, and God was speaking to them very clearly about, you have not done what you needed to do. And a matter of fact, I have given you tremendous things, and you've turned them all for bad. You've made all the glory and all the possessions and the promised land and the wonderful fruit, and now you have turned it. And in their case, and sometimes in our day still, their ancestors, their religious leaders, and their prophets have all looked away from God to worthless idols. You see, their leaders weren't helping them. Their ancestors, can you imagine, just imagine for a moment, being Moses and walking people in circles for 40 years in the desert and listening to them grumble and complain every moment of every day for 40 years. Can you imagine what that's like? And you see, the people that God's talking about here are people that traded what God wanted to give them in the promised land after those 40 years for what they had in the wilderness. For what they had in Egypt. And their religious leaders knew the scriptures but were not helping. Their prophets knew the words of God but were not helping. There's plenty of prophets throughout the Old Testament time. They don't all have a book in the Bible, okay? And some of those prophets were not telling good things. I mean, think nothing else about Moses' own brother. Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments and all the understandings and teachings of God. And he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And what is Moses' own brother doing? Gathering up gold to build a golden calf so they can worship it. Think about that. Moses' own brother, who has been through everything that happened in Pharaoh's court, has seen all of those miracles and everything that has happened. As a matter of fact, he's the one who has spoken to Pharaoh about a number of these things. And now he's listening to the people, and the people say, we don't know about Moses anymore. He's been up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe he doesn't care about us anymore. Maybe he's not even worrying. Maybe he's dead. Aaron, we need something that we can worship. You see, their leaders weren't helping them. Their leaders were not turning them back to God. A matter of fact, their problem has been so deep and it is so serious that the effect will last for generations yet to come. It's going to last for generations yet to come. God says in verse 9, "Therefore I bring charges against you, declares the Lord. And I will bring charges against your children's children." It's not just them. Their way of life and their way of walking after idols, their way of going after the worthless, is being passed down to their grandchildren. Now, I'm sorry to say, that's happening in this world. It is happening in this world. And by the way, that's not something new. It was happening in Jeremiah's day. It was happening in Moses' day. And we continue to perpetuate that. We continue to say that we believe in God and we come to church. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about all the people that come to church across the United States and around the world. And we continue to come and we say one thing in worship and we do something different tomorrow morning. We do something different tomorrow morning. We don't live as though we just sang what? I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And tomorrow morning, I'd rather have fun and relaxation than anything, because tomorrow is Labor Day. And Tuesday is, boy, I'd rather work hard so that I can have money so I can buy something else to have more fun and more relaxation. Are we still believing in God Tuesday morning when we go to work? Are we still willing to sing, I'd rather have Jesus than anything? I just hand that out to you to think about. Because sometimes we sing differently than we act. We love the old hymns, we love the old songs, we love those words, and yet come Monday morning, many times we've forgotten them. And we're not living them. And God says, I accuse you. What I'm wondering is how many of us can hear God say that to us. I accuse you. I'm sorry, but when I hear those words, I feel as though God's speaking to me. I'm not standing here to accuse you. God's accusing me. And God's saying, Tim, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to change your lifestyle? Are you going to change the way that you do things? Or are you going to continue to pass this on? That church is one part of your life and following God is one part of your life. And the rest of the week, you follow what gets you a bigger paycheck. You follow what gets you more possessions. You follow what gets you more friends. Are we doing that? And you see, it comes down to this. God says in this very last verse that Michael read, verse 13, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. You see, they've replaced their spring of living water with cracked, worthless water tanks. Cracked, worthless water tanks. Instead of having the spring of water that God wants to feed them all the time and encourage them and lift them up and build them up, they've decided to build their own water tanks. And their water tank's got a crack in it. And it's leaking water. God says, "Do you see what you did? I wanted to give you spring of living water. I wanted to feed you again and again." That's why Jesus came to die for us. So that we could have that living water each and every day. What does he say to the woman at the well? He says, "I've got water for you and you will never go thirsty again." And she looks at him and says in John chapter 4, she looks at him and she says, "How are you going to get water? You don't have a bucket to dip in the well." And he says, "Only if you knew who you were talking to." You see, that living water is there every day for us. And it's welling up and it's coming up. I was down on the New River yesterday and just amazed at the river. You know, it would be like seeing that new river and a source of water that's always passing by and saying, "No, that's not what I want. Lord, I just want this cracked jar. And I'll fill it up with water when I need to. That's okay. I'll fill it up when I need to." You see, they've replaced that living water with a cracked jar. So I'm going to ask you this. Are we using broken water tanks? Or drinking from a stream of living water? I know a lot of folks. "Man, I got blessings from God. I got blessings from God. I got blessings from God. And I got to put them in my water tank to hold them up." And not once do they realize that their jar is broken. Not once do they realize that their jar doesn't hold that water. Not once. You see, folks, we need to be in the living stream. We need to let it flow around us and over us and in us and through us, because God has something new every day in that living stream. Go home and find you a good jar, even if it ain't cracked. Go home, find you a good jar. Put some water in it. Put it out on your back stoop. Let it sit there for a week. Go out and get a drink from it next Sunday morning before you come to church. I see some people going, They're not shaking their head very hard, but no. But isn't that what we do spiritually sometimes? Let's save up the blessings we got. Let's hold them in some place. And we go back to them and we wonder why they're not as good as they were when we first saw them. Folks, are we drinking from broken water tanks? Or are we drinking from a stream of living water? Let's pray. Lord, every day you bring us an abundance over and above and beyond anything that we need. You continue to fill us. You continue to bring that abundance in powerful and tremendous ways. And yet sometimes we just want to hold on to one or two of those things. And we're not busy looking for any more blessings because, Lord, I got one. And that blessing becomes stagnant while all the others flow around us. Lord, help us to take our broken jars and smash them so that they can't be used anymore. For there's no reason, if we're living a life fully for you and in you, there's no reason to have a jar. Because that living water wells up in us every day. Help us to taste new water today, tomorrow, and every day of our lives. Help us to continue to stay in the midst of that stream, that we might know you better, and we might be transformed by that living water, never to thirst again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.